We've been teaching about filling the void in our life. And there are many, many voids that God can fill in our lives. And we've been looking at quite a few of them because God is in that business. He's in the business of filling voids. He has been doing that since the beginning. In Genesis 1:1-3, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, and it was void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." Isn't it kind of interesting that the first void, the massive void in the universe, needed to be filled with light? And it's the same way in our hearts. Our hearts, the void in our heart, when we're separated from God, needs to be filled with the light of Jesus Christ. We have come in to quite a few awarenesses in looking at voids, where we become a little more aware of God, aware of ourselves, aware of others in the last 4 weeks. And we've become more aware of situations, events, and we're starting to see God's plans and God's purposes in those when we fill the void in our heart with God. So I encourage you to keep letting God fill this void. We've been challenged in the last month in asking God, "Lord, open me up. Show me what I got going on. Show me the voids that I need to fill." And we looked at Psalm 139 where it says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there are any offensive ways in me and lead me in the way everlasting." That is a prayer that Cindy and I pray continuously. Because if something has crept in or if there's been something in our lives long term that created a void, created an area that God can't work or an area that we're not letting Him work, we want to know about it. We want God to fill those voids. The last few weeks, we looked at it. We're not aware of all those. We looked at a thing called the Johari window. It's a tool of awareness that is used by a lot of counselors, and there's four panes in that window. There's an open pane that you can see and everybody else can see. Okay. There's a blind spot pane where other people can see this void in your life, but you can't see it. And then there's a hidden pane where you know about it, but it is hidden from others. And then there is that pain that is unknown to all. That unknown to all, it's not unknown to all. God knows what's in there. And He's the one that moves it in our lives into one of those areas that we can deal with it, that we can learn what we need to do. So this week, I want us to look at that void that God wants to fill. You see, God gives us knowledge. We've been talking about the knowledge that we get from God. But God gives us that knowledge so that we can use His wisdom to operate in that knowledge. You know, it's one thing to know, but it's quite another to do. And it's quite another to do in the wisdom of God rather than in the wisdom of the world. James 1:5-8 says this, and I'm using the New Living Translation because it is very, very vivid in this translation. I love the way the Word of God is just brought to light here. It says, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you." How many of us need wisdom? If you did not raise your hand, you're in that unknown blind spot, okay? We all need wisdom, don't we? And it says that He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. I find it very interesting that this translation of the Bible is very, very close to the Greek. Because that part that it says their loyalty is divided between God and the world. If we want God's wisdom, we have to trust in God and we have to be loyal to God. And we have to be loyal to the wisdom that He gives us. I want to look at four areas of wisdom. There's many, many, many areas. I mean, it's almost limitless. But there are four main areas of wisdom I want us to look at today. And I want us to look at the difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. To obtain godly wisdom, we must be loyal to God and trust in Him. We should not ask for God's wisdom and then seek out worldly wisdom. How many times have you prayed, "Oh God, will you please show me what to do here?" And then you go ask somebody that may not be the best source to ask. Now, I'm sure that none of you have ever done that. Maybe not. I have a time or two. You know, I'm praying, "Oh God, please do this. Oh God, please, please give me wisdom." And then, you know, you ask somebody, "Well, what do you think?" That's not being very loyal to God. We need to wait on God's wisdom, because God may bring somebody in our lives with godly wisdom. And it may not even be someone who's close to the Lord. God has a way of speaking in every situation in our lives. But when we pray to God, we need to know that it's God speaking. You see, earthly wisdom says, follow your heart. Whatever feels good, just do it. You know, everything that's relative is your relativity. It is your truth. You just follow your truth. And I enjoy watching people like that. You know, they may get by with that for a while, but eventually there's this thing called crashing and burning. And you will crash and burn if you just follow anything out there. It's sad, but it happens. You see, godly wisdom tells us in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things. So we probably shouldn't just follow our heart. Because what if my heart says, you need a new something? I mean, it can be anything. You know, it can be something expensive, something inexpensive. You need something. I think one of the things that amazes me, being in the mailing industry up the college, is how certain things are promoted, and then we see a lot of packages coming into the college that revolve around those things that are promoted. Because someone's heart thought that they needed a box of potato chips. I'm serious. I mean, we see beds and potato chips, and you cannot believe the things that get shipped into my department. And I was like, oh, well, somebody had a promotion on potato chips. And when 20 people, you know, your location, a location that, you know, doesn't have that many people, you know, getting stuff shipped to, when 20 people get huge boxes of potato chips, there's something going on. And their heart said, I need potato chips. Now, aren't you glad that your heart is following God and not a box of potato chips? I know that sounds silly, but that's just about how silly it is when we follow the world's wisdom. Secondly, earthly wisdom says that seeing is believing. Well, godly wisdom tells us in John 20:29 that blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. A lot of people are saying, well, how can you believe in a God that you can't see? And I said, well, once you believe in God, you see Him in everything you do. You feel Him in everything that happens. God is amazing. God can change our hearts. God can mold our hearts. God can show us things that you know, we maybe never saw as beautiful before, or never saw as something that needed to be taken care of before. Seeing is not just believing. It's nice to see it. But Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. I think that it is amazing that we are blessed because we believe in Christ, even though we may have not have seen Him personally, like the apostles. But we believe in Him. And the Bible says that we will be blessed. That's one thing about godly wisdom. If you follow it, a blessing always follows it. The third thing it says, earthly wisdom says, love your family and friends. And godly wisdom tells us in Acts 4:12 that, or in Matthew, I'm sorry, Matthew 43:47, that we also must love our enemies and bless them. Amen. You know, it's easy to love people that are lovable. But the people that aren't very lovable, the people that are trying to, you know, purposely, I know this is kind of hard for some of us to believe, that there are people out there that purposely want to do you harm. And that's sad, because their heart has been destroyed, crushed, and manipulated by the enemy. But we're supposed to love those people and give them a chance, because God gives them a chance right up until the very end. And that's godly wisdom. Earthly wisdom says there are many ways to God. In fact, I've heard some pretty disturbing things about a lot of different denominations, saying there's many ways to God. I have read the Bible many, many times. And godly wisdom tells us in Acts 4:12 that there's only one way to God, and that's Jesus Christ. And I'm sorry for your heart if that offends you, but it's the truth. I know a guy who for years flew airplanes, big airplanes, wide-body airplanes, carried lots and lots of people all over the world, and never, ever, ever had an incident flying those airplanes. Well, as a pilot, every once in a while, you've got to catch a flight to go fly another airplane. So they threw him in a seat. I can't remember. They had to send him from Salt Lake to Denver to fly an airplane or something. And he's sitting in a seat. And you, I don't know if you know this or not, but pilots don't make very good passengers. If you're sitting next to somebody and they're fidgety and grumpy, chances are they're a pilot. Or they're just fidgety and grumpy. But anyway, he was sitting there, and this person, you know, sat down next to him, and just out of the blue says, "Well, I believe that there are many ways to God. What do you think?" Well, this guy's a Christian, and he said, "Well, I think you're wrong. I mean, you know, you just as well just cut to the chase." The guy said, "Well, how can I be wrong?" And he says, "Well, let me put it this way." He said, "If I took that philosophy in my faith, then my faith would no longer exist, number one. But number two, let's take that philosophy in what I do for a living." And the guy says, "Well, what do you do for a living?" And he says, "Well, I fly airplanes, just like this very large airplane with over 300 people in it." The guy, "Oh, that's interesting." He said, "Yeah." And he said, "What if my philosophy was there are many ways to land an airplane?" And the guy stopped and he goes, "There are many ways to land an airplane, but there's only one way to land an airplane where nobody gets hurt. And there's only one way to God, and that's Jesus Christ, and that's what I believe." So if your life is flying along and you think that there's a lot of different ways to land it, you might get a surprise at the end of the journey. Because there's only one way to God, and that way is the truth. Jesus didn't say that, "Well, I might be the truth, I might be the way, and I might be the light." He said, "I am the truth, the way, and the light. And I'm the life." And he said that. And he was killed, and he was resurrected. And all the other religious leaders in the world, from the beginning to up to today, have never made that claim, and they've never, ever showed us that in history as being proof. The Bible isn't the only record of Jesus doing what he did. There are a lot of historical accounts that talk about Jesus. A lot of historians. He existed. He was resurrected, and he died for our sins. That's godly wisdom. James 2:17 says this, "But the wisdom from above," that's God's wisdom, "is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving. It is gentle at all times and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere." That's godly wisdom. So this week, if we look at that scripture, here's things that we can expect if we ask for godly wisdom. Just in this scripture, there are eight things that God points out in this scripture. He points out that with godly wisdom, you're going to experience purity. With godly wisdom, you're going to experience being a peace-loving person. With godly wisdom, you're going to experience gentleness. With God's wisdom, you're going to be yielding. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to just roll over and play dead to anything. It doesn't mean that you're not going to stand up for your rights. It doesn't mean that you're going to be just a doormat. What that means is you're going to let others go first. You're going to open the door for people. You're going to listen a little bit longer. You're going to try to understand them, but you're still going to yield to them, but then tell them the truth in a pure, peace-loving, gentle way. Not only do we have those four things, but God's wisdom extends mercy. God's wisdom produces fruitful, good deeds. God's wisdom does not show favoritism. How many times do you wish that somebody would not have shown favoritism? Let's just say you applied for a job. You were maybe more qualified than somebody else, but because somebody knew somebody that you didn't know or something, they got the job. Not fair, right? God's not showing favoritism. He treats us all the same. He loves us the same, and He disciplines us the same, and He gives us the same opportunities. Number eight is that you will live a life of sincerity with God's wisdom. Now, you know what I find interesting? That James 2:17 is not a very long verse, but we have eight of the many, many, many aspects of God's wisdom. Okay, all of that wisdom in one little verse. Imagine if we read the whole Bible. Imagine we could actually... maybe not put our foot in our mouth maybe as many times, right? And I am just as guilty of this as anybody. But you know, I read that and I thought, wow, Lord, there's a lot of wisdom there. I think I'm going to read James 2:17 and I'm going to look at those areas and say, God, I want purity. I want to be a peace lover. I want gentleness. I want to be yielding. I want to listen to others first. I want to extend mercy. I want to have good deeds as my fruit. Lord, I don't want to show favoritism, and I want to live a life of sincerity. One verse. That's a lot. And I just pray that this week, all of us pray and try to get just that one verse right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for everything that we have, for all of the love that you pour out on us. And Father, for the abundance of wisdom that you give us, if we're willing to just ask, but then be loyal to you. Lord, not to listen to the world, not to listen to all the noise out there, but to listen to your still, quiet, perfect, wonderful voice. I pray, Lord, that we'll be able to do that this week. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.